Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
This morning I want to speak a little bit about the building that we are coming in to possess. But before that, I really want to talk about perspective and about really where we're at and where we're going. Because it's really important we know where we're at and where God wants to lead us to. So if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, I realize that many people are away with Mother's Day and marathons. And I would never be away for a marathon. It's never going to happen for me. I know that this can be downloaded for them so they can receive and hear what God is saying to us. And if you're visiting today, we know that the word is relevant for every person. So it doesn't, you know, there's no outsiders here. We're all insiders. We're all wanting to hear God's voice and follow Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, we'll start at verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about the clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry and say, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So the words of Jesus to every generation, and that would include us. I believe there's a mandate on every generation that chooses and wants to follow Jesus, is that we're always given choices. And Jesus issues his word, which actually shows us what his will is for every disciple, every follower of Jesus. And still allows us to have free choice. And so when he begins, when I cut in really on it, on God and money, that you can't serve God and money, Jesus was actually saying that money can be a god, can take the place in your heart and affections and priorities. And so I believe actually behind money, and there is this term that Jesus used, which is mammon, there is a spirit that wants to bring people into devotion to money. And Jesus said you can't actually be devoted to money and God. Now we also know that God wants to bless us financially, but that comes out of a devotion to serve God as your priority. So that becomes our kind of decision-making, choice, free will, that we choose to follow Jesus. And in following him, we may have to make choices that mean that we won't have as much money from overtime. Is that good? That work doesn't become your goal, because work, behind work, is money. People think it's, and of course it is the right thing that we all work. We know there's a right revelation. But the place of work must never take the place of God in a believer's life. And so Jesus says you cannot have, if you think about my heart in a heart shape, you can't have pound signs on the inside of your heart, because whatever your heart is focused on, you will follow. If it's getting rich, you'll follow that. But if it's Jesus, then you will seek first his priorities in our lives. Now, the world runs after things. And believers are not to be going in the same direction as the world. We are not here to run after things. Jesus said that he will provide the things because he's a good father. This is all in the context of wanting us to live by faith in God's generosity and goodness. And we mustn't fear not having provision. We need to trust God for provision. But the provision that comes from heaven is activated by a kingdom-seeking person. Somebody who is putting God's agenda at the top of the list. I think actually tithing is quite a challenge to whether God is priority. Because when I get whatever money I get in, at the top, God takes the cream, I don't. The top is 10%, that's the cream. That belongs to the Lord. I don't even have to think about it. It is a decision that I've made, and actually I do that by standing order. But it shows my priority in the way that I live. And that means actually money isn't my God. Because I'm actually saying God's my provider, I trust him. I'm not in fear about giving 10%. I'm in faith that God will provide and supply all my needs. Praise God. And so Jesus said the promise of provision, of clothing, of food, of the basic needs of life, is connected to seeking first the kingdom. All these things will be added. The provision you need will come in. The job you need will come in. The destiny on your life will happen by your priority to seek first God's kingdom. The reign of God, what God wants for your life as number one. And then we have this incredible statement, this promise from Jesus, all things will be added. Now about a year ago, I think it's when Pastor Andrew and David, after their house challenge of the flood, they were staying at Maggie's for a while, staying in somebody's house in the church. And during that time, we were fasting and praying because we were wanting to seek God, particularly about the building for us as a church. And we were praying and giving the Lord our time and fasting before the Lord. And the Lord spoke to us and he said, don't worry about the building. It's not time to be concerned about that. It's time to just continue to seek first the kingdom. And the building will be added. So we decided then to continue to be focused on mission, on seeing God's rule, and on equipping you to see God's rule through your own personal life. But 2 months ago, we were doing the same, praying and fasting. I think it was the beginning of February or the end of January. And as we were praying, Pastor Andrea had a vision. And how many of you know the Lord leads through his word and through the Spirit? And the way the Spirit speaks is in dreams and visions. That's part of the way that God is leading us as a people, that we're to be people of the Spirit and the Word. We are led by the Spirit and the Word, both working together. And she would admit, actually, that she needed faith for provision if we were going to go in and buy a building. Because we do need faith to possess what God wants us to possess. And so as we were praying, she saw a pattern of a piece of clothing, a big piece of clothing, being cut out. And the Lord said, don't worry, I'm cutting your clothes. Which, of course, is the reference point here. Why do you follow, you know, after these things? God will clothe you. And basically, God said it's time to clothe the body. Now, you see, the body of Christ is us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The clothes are the building. So the body is much more important than the clothes. You are more valuable than a building. Praise God. Jesus did not die for a building. He died for you. And so we need to see the priorities of things as God's people. We mustn't be shaped by the world. We have a different culture, and it's called the culture of the kingdom. And so whilst we see this fantastic vision from the Spirit that God is cutting out our clothes. So in other words, it's time for clothing. It's time for the building. We see that actually it's only to house the true temple. That's the body of Christ. So I believe that it's time for us to take possession in a very, very proactive way. And I'll speak more about that at the end of the message on what we've been doing to take possession of a building. But the question always needs to be asked in all of us who really do want to follow Jesus. And that is, are God's priorities my priorities? That's a good question to ask. Are what his will is his will my will? And his values, my values? Are we living as a people in God's will? And I just want to take some time to just celebrate what you and many people who are not here today are actually doing. What we are doing together as a church, as a local expression of Jesus and his will in the earth. I have counted probably in the last few weeks, 50 people have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the last few weeks, with the gospel meetings, the faith projects, and that doesn't actually include you personally witnessing to people we don't know about. So it's probably more than 50. And Jesus, the word of God says, how can they believe unless they hear? And so one of our mandates, the will of God, is that we're preaching the good news, the message of Jesus to people. So we could celebrate that we are doing God's will. Sometimes it's really good to just take stock and say, the good things are this. I don't know about you, but I can always look at what I'm not doing in my personal life. And I never quite feel good enough. Is anybody? But God wants us to focus on the good things that are going on. Okay, I'm not yet perfect, but there's a lot of good. And as a church, we're not yet fully there, but there's a lot of good going on. Last weekend, we had baptisms of 7 new believers. And there are more that are wanting to be baptized. One of the stories from Fly, a young man from Fly, he didn't want to be baptized because his parents aren't saved, but his grandparents are, and they couldn't come. And so he wants them to be here when he's baptized. So there are other new believers, and the work of the faith projects, you guys working on teams, specifically strategic, meeting different needs in different people groups. And so through that, we are seeing a lot of people come to Christ. Thank you, Lord. So we celebrate the good that is already happening. I just want to honor every person that is committed to serving the community and winning souls. Both go together. We don't just serve the community, it's serving them to win them to Christ. We also have, I hear just a few stories about what people did. We had Mark Baker came to help me put up some new cupboards in my utility for storage. And without really knowing, he just mentioned that last Sunday at the baptism service, he and Paul were here. And I know there's quite a few of you that come very early on a Sunday morning. He and Paul were here at 8:30. Now, remember last Sunday we lost an hour. So it was almost like 7:30 on a Sunday morning, because they'd found out that there was a ping pong ball or a table tennis match or something going on, plus the football match, plus the church, who are having a baptism, and lots of visitors came last Sunday. And so these guys are out there serving. Isn't that fantastic? Because God has a mandate on each believer to play its part, each part doing its share, so the whole body can be built up. This is what we need to celebrate, that we have so many of you are serving. And if you are new to the church, we would love to help you to find your place in playing a part in building up the body and serving as Jesus came to example in his life. The greatest are the servants. That's the value of the kingdom. God places immense value on serving. Yes, thank you, Jesus. So we celebrate that. We also had an interesting phone call, well, Sandra did, about Habitat. Habitat is reaching a team of you are reaching the immigrant community and taking them through conversation classes. And through this, there's so much growth and building up of meeting needs, but also bringing the influence of the kingdom and eventually the gospel into these people's lives. And we had a phone call this week from Road Chef. Anybody know the kind of motorway service station? And saying, we've heard you've got a reputation, somebody in the Southwestern organization, what is it, the Equality Southwest, have told us that you're the best people to help immigrants with English. Tremendous. Well done. Absolutely well done. And Sandra asked, where are you ringing from? And they said the HQ headquarters in London. So we're known in London for the work we're doing with the immigrant community. These are not small and insignificant things. Because people aren't small and insignificant. And by doing these things, we are actually placing value on the lost. We're giving them value and saying that you matter. Isn't that fantastic? There are other things going on. Annette and TJ, they're training and equipping and raising up a youth band on a Friday night. That's a serving ministry. There was somebody's birthday party on Friday night, and Dan, Kaz, James, Becky, she's not here. They came late because their priority is young people. Thank you, Jesus. There's so much good. And so before we kind of say what's next, we need to say praise God and to honor each member, each part of the body that is playing a part. And you know, this is the important thing, that if you're not playing a part, you won't be fulfilled. And actually, you will enjoy it if you partner with God's people, both serving in the church, but also in the community. God has got a great plan for each one of us. And it would be good to waste our lives on the kingdom, on Jesus. See, we're a different people. That's why we're essentially different to the world. We also heard, and actually it was Joan who rang me this week, and it was such an encouraging phone call. I don't always get them. Do you? Get challenging phone calls? But encouraging phone calls are good. And she said, do you know, we're getting quite a reputation in this region for miracles. Now, that's not me saying it. That's people from outside saying, if you need a healing, you need to go to that church. And that means on a Sunday morning or encounter nights or whatever we're doing together, We are creating an environment, or as Dr. James said, a gateway for the supernatural. We're a gateway church, releasing the supernatural power of heaven to touch and heal lives. Thank you, Jesus. So it's good to have this kind of reputation. And we can always do better. And it doesn't matter which church you're part of, there's always room for improvement. And, you know, we don't come to pick holes, do we? We come to see what Jesus is doing and really get stuck in with the good things that are actually happening. So we are, at one level, we are definitely seeking first the kingdom. We're making the kingdom of heaven our priority. But we want to see more, don't we? I know there's a resounding yes from the back, right at the back. But I believe there's a resounding yes in every born-again believer. Because in your spirit, you're not satisfied with an ordinary life. You're only satisfied with the kingdom of heaven coming and the same works as Jesus and greater still. That's what's in your spirit. And that's what God has given you, his spirit, to accomplish his will here on earth. And so we do want to press on for more. And when we hear that word, press on, especially when we're tired, we think, oh no, which is why we need the grace. Because grace gives us the power to continue to press forward and advance the kingdom. If you're tired and need encouragement, come before the throne of grace, where you'll find grace, mercy and grace to help. Because we can have his power and strength to move forward. And we are in a time where nationally and internationally there is a need for us to be a supernatural people preaching the gospel. I went to a meeting for Southwest Churches this week. It was a day, I only made half a day, but it was on the big society and the church's response to what the government is saying about the big society. And whilst it was very informative, there was an expert come down from London to speak about policies and different things that the government want to do. It only clarified to me that the world cannot do anything to change society. Because if the issue is, actually, essentially, the issue is love. If we love one another, we'll have a great nation. You understand that? Love, as Jesus speaks about love, which is to lay down your life for others. That's the right kind of community. But I know before I received Jesus, I didn't have love in my heart for people. And so after all this spiel on the big society, very informative, I thought, well, Jesus, it's only confirmed to me that you're the only one who can change a heart. And the only way to change a heart is through the gospel. And so the nation needs the gospel. It's the only solution that really will work. And it will work. Think about Reformation times. Think about how the Wesleys pioneered. What did they do? They preached the gospel. They went everywhere and preached the good news. Repent from your sin, believe in Jesus, and you'll be saved. And once you're saved, you've received a gift of eternal life. You've got a new heart, and God's Spirit lives in you. And you now have power to love even your enemies. That's the miracle. And so we must be clear on what we are here to do. We have a different mandate than the government. A greater mandate. Because in this mandate, the souls of men for eternity are in the balance. It's not just a season in the nation, it's actually for eternity. And so, we want to see more fruit, don't we? We want to see more people saved. Therefore, we want more and more opportunity to preach the good news to people. Amen. I know you're all yes with me, but I do feel that it's just good to get perspective about kingdom faith. That the government's plan isn't our plan. Our plan's Jesus' plan. While we bless communities, and it's obvious through what we're doing as a church, we understand that we are absolutely clear on what is going to help this nation. That's Jesus and the message of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Turn with me just over a few pages to Matthew 14, and we'll carry on with moving on into greater fruitfulness now. We thank God for what he has done. We thank God that when we look in the light of the word and we can all make changes that we need to make. And if you're sitting there saying, well, I'm not really a kingdom-focused person, I'm really running after things and money, then you can change. You can partner with God in this generation. There's no force to change, but there's a call to change. If you're going to follow Jesus, it's the only way to do that, and is to make the kingdom our priority. But we're seeing so much of the fruit of that happening through the church. So in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, let me just read the word. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. And while he dismissed the crowd, after he dismissed them, he went up onto the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, that's about 3 a.m, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, say when they'd crossed over. Okay, this is the important part, actually, for where we're going. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. I think probably the disciples didn't really know how good it was going to be at the end of it, end of the journey. But Jesus just sent them out to get across to the other side without much more information than that. He actually dismissed the crowd. And once again, the kingdom or the word separates in our mind the difference between a crowd and disciples. The word makes it clear that there is a distinction between people who are part of a crowd that are blessed by being given a meal by Jesus, so food and healing, or disciples. And the disciples are a different group of people. I want to be a disciple. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I don't just want to receive healing and not really know that my eternity. You can be blessed by Jesus. You can be healed. People are getting healed every day in the world, but that doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Okay, so there is a distinction. The crowd are there for themselves. The disciples are there because they've left their old life, the way they used to live, and are now following Jesus. That's really a definition of a disciple. You've left the old way of life, and now you are following Jesus, and it's a different way of life. To be a disciple is a different way of life. And it's a good way of life. It's the best. It might be very challenging, but with it comes the best that heaven can bring. So the disciples were told to go across the other side of the lake. Jesus went to pray, and really that's not my message for today. But the disciples had been down that road for quite a while, crossing that lake, and they were quite a distance from the shore. And I believe, as a church, we are in this boat quite a distance from the shore. We've been going across this lake, doing the work of the kingdom with Jesus. And we're on our way, locationally. We're going to land and find a new place to reside, which is a building. And in that place, there is even greater fruitfulness. This is the word God has given us for the move. And what I love about this word, it isn't about the building. You see, Jesus never wants us focused on a building. He wants us focused on the kingdom and people. People are the world's greatest resource. And so he says, when they landed the other side, the people of that region recognized him. So we've had prophetic words, and you know, we didn't invent the words. God brought prophetic words over us that we would be a regional church affecting the region. Well, already many people come from all over the region, but I believe we've only just started to see the word going out that in this place there's healing. In this place there's a manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever's your problem, Jesus can answer it amongst his people, the church. Isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't just stay the other side and just pray for the kingdom to come? See, I believe we need to pray, but the church are God's instrument to bring the kingdom of heaven. We have heaven in us. So wherever we go, heaven comes. Because the kingdom of heaven is within us. And so we are carrying the kingdom wherever we go. And God is bringing us into this place of greater fruitfulness and a greater manifestation of miracles. We are going to see cancers healed regularly. We're going to see the supernatural power of heaven. And when I said we, I mean we. I mean, you are going to work miracles through your faith. You're going to be known as a place where people can receive from God. How exciting. What better thing? I'd rather run this marathon. This is the marathon I'm in. This is the race I'm running for Jesus. Unhindered. And you know, this is really the disciples, and I believe this, and I believe it for my own life and call and us as a church. We have to keep free from the things that stop us going forward. And people's agendas often stop us moving. I know, I can plan, we can plan days of prayer, and it's incredible how many people have a problem on the days we've planned to minister to the Lord and receive from heaven. It's not that you can turn off people's problems, but it's amazing how others' agendas can creep in what God's agenda is. And essentially, we must be obedient to God's call. And to be obedient to God's call, we have to say no to what people want us to do. You can't serve God and say yes to everybody about their timetable of having, doing something of, hello? See, it's all about Jesus and the kingdom. It really is all about Jesus and the kingdom. And we must be free from others' agendas. Our agenda must be the kingdom. And therefore, we need to be able to say no to those who want us to go with them on days when we know Jesus is leading us out into this. Priorities become a reality when people try and cut in and pull you out of what God has called you to do. Do you know, you might have the greatest heart in all the world. You love Jesus with all your heart. But in the end, you could stay on the shore in a deck chair with a drink saying, have a good time, I'm with my friends. Or you could say, Jesus said I'm going to do it. He wants me over there. I'm going to do it. I want to be obedient to what he's calling me to do. That the separation is these guys come into fruit. These guys don't. You understand that? So fruit, you have to leave the shore. The crowds go away, but Jesus sends us out with his word to go and reach more people for him. And I believe that we need to continue to stay free, and I do, to continually stay free to say yes to the Lord and not to be moved by other people's agendas, especially as a church leader. It's incredible how many things I get through on email of what I should be going to. It's phenomenal how many meetings there are for church leaders. In fact, you could spend all your time in regional meetings and national meetings. But my time must be spent on doing what God says we should be doing so we can come as a church. Amen. To the place of fruitfulness. Now, there is opposition to this, and the disciples experience this at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's not a good time to experience opposition. Is it? Because the physical state at 3 in the morning is, I just don't want hassle. Are we right? And I think that's the time really when the opposition really kicks in. The enemy knows that when we're tired, he comes in to oppose us even more. Yeah. But this opposition is definitely sent by the enemy. You see, if we are the solution, the church in the nation, not just us, the whole church is the solution for this nation and internationally, then the enemy is going to put up some adverse conditions to push us back. He wants us off course, and he wants us to stop moving forward. I'm sure in your own personal experience with the Lord, that whenever you've taken a step forward for Jesus, there has been opposition. I asked some of the kids who got baptized last weekend, and both of them this morning, how was their week? And they said it was good on Sunday, but it's been quite a tough week, and that's why we must pray for them. Because we know there's opposition to taking steps for Jesus. So we see that this opposition is coming when we're tired. But Jesus actually comes in this time of opposition and adverse conditions. He comes in and he says, he walks on the water. And he says to Peter, you know, it's me. It's to the whole disciples, this is me. And Peter, you can come and walk on water with me. I think the biggest revelation that we need at this time is that Jesus is Lord. That the wind isn't, the adverse conditions aren't raining. We have somebody who is above them. And his name is Jesus. And in walking on water, he is saying, I'm Lord of creation. I love that. I'm Lord of all the conditions that are going on in all the world. And he actually says to Peter, you know, Peter said, if it's you. Peter actually, instead of getting a natural mindset, he starts to get a kingdom mindset. A kingdom mindset is always God's higher thoughts. You know, your mind is the biggest battleground. It's where most of the battles happen, is in your mind. So when you're looking at your circumstances, if you keep looking at them, you won't be in dominion. You won't see a picture of Jesus as Lord or walk in dominion. And Jesus actually comes showing that he is Lord. And Peter gets a mindset renewal. And he starts to think right. Dominion, actually. He starts to think, actually, if he can do that, I can do that. That's the right thinking, church. If Jesus can do that, we can. Do we believe that? Do we believe the word? Jesus said, the same works as me and greater still. I haven't walked on water yet, physically, but I know I can. I'd have thought I'd had a pretty good week if I had managed to do what Peter did. I'd have come in this week, yes, guess what happened to me this week? You'd seen me looking pretty pleased with myself. And, you know, the negative people would say, yeah, but you sank. Always the glass is half full, yeah, but look at what's going wrong. Have you ever had people around you like that? Yeah, but look at that. Yes, but I walked, and you never did. It's a pretty good week for Peter. And what I love, and I think this is faith, you know, we walk in dominion by faith. That's why we're to live with a mind of Jesus as Lord, and he wants us walking where he's walking. He's never under the circumstances. He's always over them, and he wants us to walk on our circumstances. We're the head and not the tail. So whatever bad thing you're going through, it's under your feet. Because you're in Christ, seated in heavenly places. And so we see that Jesus is Lord. Peter begins to walk where Jesus is walking and then starts to sink. But I love the grace of God that lifts Peter back up. Have you ever been going in faith for something and gone, no, you're all mighty warriors of faith. You started walking on the water, seeing the victory, and then it was like, but Jesus, look at this. And you start to sink. The grace of God picks Peter up, puts him back in the boat. They get back in the boat because obviously his disciples are not yet into his form of travel. His chosen form of travel that day was walking on water. But the disciples, he just needed to meet them where they were at, actually. So he pulled them out. And you know what I love about this? Even though there's things against us, even though we're not perfect in faith yet, we still get there. We still get there. When they got to the other side, I've read it. That means we are. It means us. Because this word's for us. So we will get to the other side. And, you know, the enemy, he is a defeated foe. Jesus is Lord, and we just need to see he's Lord. We actually have been working with an expert who's really helping us with a building we've been looking at. And actually, a couple of weeks ago, we approached the owner and we started to really walk on water and say we'd like to put an offer in subject to planning. And, you know, we were just going out there, pushing out. And the owner came back and said, well, I've just had an offer to let the building and we want to buy it, you see. And he's just received an offer to let it. And he said, I can't decide what I want to do. So what are we to think about this? Because in the natural, you could say, well, we didn't expect that. But aren't there a lot of things that we do that we don't expect? We just need to discern. Is that the enemy? Or is it like Paul pushing doors. And the Lord saying, not that one. There's something better because there's more fruit the other side of this door. So we haven't heard back finally yet on this building, but we know we are moving forward. And the point for us as a leadership is that it's a we are in the boat and not just us. While we are praying, seeking God, and kind of needing to be dealing with the forward movement, the front line of it, we must be a people that are together in the vision for the clothing for this body. Amen. Because we need to leave an inheritance for our children's children. We need to see a generational vision of what we're doing. It goes well beyond us. It goes to the people we're going to reach. And it goes to the next generation. There are future leaders being raised up. There are training things that are going on. There are future things that have yet to be. Thank you, Jesus. And so we are one heart and one mind in what God is saying. I would like, and we would like, more news for you. But that's the news. And the news is, we're going across, we will get to the other side, and when we land, more people will see Jesus, and more people will be healed. And, you know, the opposition has been intense for us personally. We have faced immense opposition. One way or another, it's been like the enemy has almost tried to take us out. And I believe as we have suffered, I'm sure that you have too. Because as a body, you know, we kind of experience similar things, don't we? But we can be encouraged that Jesus is Lord. That he is over all these things. And that he calls us out into a supernatural dimension. Of Lord, we can walk in dominion in this time. And we will see the shore. We're traveling. We're moving forward, but we will see the shore. I'd like to finish really with a final, before we pray, a final vision, which at the time I thought was quite amusing, but since then it's not been that funny. Is that Pastor Andrea had a vision of Pastor Colin Clive and her and I in this boat, interestingly enough. Now I know why it wasn't that funny. Because all she could see was storm clouds. It's the only thing she could see was storm and bad conditions. And she's going, are you sure we should go forward? Doesn't look like a good idea. Because let's be real. Let's be very real. Economically, things aren't as high as they used to be. The economics aren't naturally in place. Thank you, Jesus. There are a few things, situations and conditions we're in that are not looking as strong as they used to. Is that okay? And so she said in this dream, she said, is it a good idea? Pastor Colin said, as you'd expect, the only way is forward. We shared that. We had a leaders meeting a few weeks ago, and the Kingdom Faith leaders all got together, and I think Pastor Andrew shared that with them. And they were laughing. Because it's exactly what the conditions are going on in the church all throughout the nation. But you know what? We're getting to the other side. We thank God for what we're seeing happening. But we will not stop. And it is a resolve that can only come from the Holy Spirit in us. Because as we were singing, in my weakness, God be lifted up. And so we are going to take a building. But more than that, we're going to take territory for Jesus, which means win people to Christ. So in the balance of heaven's plan, in perhaps not the most perfect way this morning, that's kingdom faith. Praise God.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.